Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of KleptoCast, the podcast series from the Hudson Institute's Kleptocracy Initiative. My name is Casey Michelle, and my guest today is Max de Haldevang, a reporter with Quartz. Max has written extensively not only on the U.S.'s shell company and real estate industries, but also on a recent ruling out of New York that revealed Iranian ownership of a Manhattan skyscraper located at 650 Fifth Avenue. This ruling also happens to be the largest terrorism-related civil forfeiture case the U.S. has ever seen. So, Max, it is great to have you with us today. I wanted to ask, firstly, just about this recent ruling out of Manhattan. Can you walk us through the case, some of the broader parameters of it, who was involved, and what some of the findings were?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me on, Casey. This is about a building that was built by the Shah of Iran in the 1970s, originally for an NGO called the Alavi Foundation. And it was in 1989 they decided they didn't want to pay tax on rent gained from this building. So they set up a shell company in New York, I believe, which was in turn was owned by a shell company in Jersey, the British Crown Dependency, which does not tax people and can be very secretive. That sort of went very happy along for 6 years, not paying tax, and no one had any problems until 1995, when Iran was designated a terrorist sponsor, obviously, by the US and put under sanctions. From then on, this arrangement that they originally put in place just to avoid paying tax suddenly became a very helpful way of avoiding sanctions. And it wasn't until, I think it was the end of 2008, the US filed suit on this, said this is essentially giving money to the Iranian government, and it took 9 whole years to eventually get this building forfeited, which is what the building's worth between $500 million and $1 billion. And it took five institutions, I think, working on it. It was the FBI, the IRS, and the NYPD, the Department of Justice, and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office.
Mm-hmm. So this is, in a nutshell, this was the Iranian government using a handful of shell companies, one of which was based in New York, to help skirt sanctions and receive revenue from a Manhattan skyscraper. And obviously, this case doesn't exist in a vacuum, and you've done a lot of fantastic coverage as it pertains to shell companies and real estate purchases here in the U.S. How does this case fit within the broader phenomenon of shell companies and real estate purchases?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking, obviously, the New York Times did some great reporting on this a couple of years ago in the Towers of Secrecy series, and then they estimated that I think it's around 50% of New York high-end residential real estate, and I guess that was in 2014, was bought by anonymous companies. So it's really like an extraordinary amount of real estate is bought through utterly secret shell companies where, frankly, we just don't know who the owners are. Obviously, there have been cases that have been have come up where we found out that these are, in fact, bought by kleptocrats or bought by drug lords or terrorist financiers. So essentially, we have, you know, Americans or American companies paying rent to shell companies, they don't know who they are, that can go on and then finance terrorists to come and bomb the US, or drug lords in Mexico to start sell drugs up here and kill people down there. It really is far too common, and the real estate sector is able to get away with it because there's an exemption in the Patriot Act, which was not given to things like the banking sector. That basically means they don't have to do any, the real estate industry doesn't have to do any due diligence on who the ultimate beneficial owner of the companies they're selling to are. That was meant to be a temporary exemption, but it was put in place 16 years ago and nothing has happened so far.
So perhaps temporary doesn't quite mean what it once did. Now, this ruling, again, is the largest terrorism-related civil forfeiture that the U.S. has ever seen. From your perspective, Max, does this set any kind of precedent? I mean, does this change anything with this ruling?
Not as far as I know. I think the legal case was more about proving that proving that it was that Iran was the ultimate beneficiary of it. So the rent was going to this bank called Bank Melli, which, you know, I think some high level officials are on the board of, and you know, essentially is going to the government's coffers. So I don't, as far as I understand, it doesn't set any kind of new precedent or make it easier to deal with these cases in the future.
So some of the writing that you've done as it pertains to shell companies and real estate is not just the phenomenon of actors like arms dealers or kleptocrats setting up American shell companies and then using those to buy real estate, but you've also written about some of the legislation that's recently been proposed to hopefully shine light on these actors and on these shell companies. For listeners who aren't aware, the U.S. is actually one of the most prominent jurisdictions that doesn't identify the beneficial owners of companies that are set up here in the U.S. Max, can you give us a quick overview of some of the recent legislation that was proposed and whether or not you have any sense of it, if it has any legs?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, these two bipartisan bills were put forward, one in the House and one in the Senate. They're very similar. And the bills in essence basically make it so that if you set up a shell company in the U.S., in an LLC in the U.S., you have to disclose the ultimate beneficial owner to either the Treasury or the state you're setting it up in. That will then be anonymous to me, but if the security services or law enforcement are investigating who that owner might be or think that there are criminals involved with it, they can then find out who that is. So that's all great. Problem is that this is, I think, the fifth attempt. I mean, I was speaking to Carolyn Maloney, who's the representative in charge of the House bill. I think it's the fifth time she's tried to put forward a bill like this in 10 years, and none of them have gone anywhere. So this time around, they're hoping they're going to have a bit more success because they're quite cleverly trying to link it to all the Russia scandal surrounding the president. And framing this really as a national security issue, the argument being that, hey, this could be a very easy way. We would have no idea if the Russian government was buying real estate. Oh, they're not saying this directly, but you know, the implication being buying real estate and using that as a way of funneling money into the US or to pay off people or whatever. Not entirely clear whether Russia is actually the biggest threat. There's probably some, you know, other richer countries are more likely to be able to influence things that way. Is this really? I don't know. The big question is, you know, even if they get a huge somehow win enough support to pass this through the House and the Senate, and it hasn't really created much of a buzz so far, you then have to ask whether Trump would actually sign it. As we all know, he's a huge lover of shell companies.
You mentioned the fact that it's not only Russian oligarchs or potentially Russian money that is using shell companies. I'm sure you saw the news the other day that broke that the final individual who was at the Trump Jr. meeting with the Russian lawyer just so happened to be someone who had set up thousands of Delaware shell companies a couple years ago. But also we have kleptocrats from places like Equatorial Guinea, Ukraine. Arms dealers like Victor Boot have used American shell companies to funnel funds and to purchase real estate for money laundering purposes. I wanted to ask just, Max, as a final question, after this ruling that we saw come down pertaining to the skyscraper in Manhattan, what is there to stop regimes or actors in places like Tehran or Pyongyang or Damascus from going through this again, from purchasing American real estate via American shell companies? What is there to stop them?
Very little is the answer. I mean, there has been some progress on this in the last year and a half. At the beginning of 2016, the Treasury set up a measure called Geographic Targeting Orders, GTOs, which apply to six cities. It's New York, Miami, LA County, and a few others. Under which, if you buy a property with cash from an anonymous shell company, once you've bought that property and try and get title insurance, then the title insurance company has to find out who the beneficial owner is and send those details on to the Treasury. That's at least transparency. People tell you it's not enough. You know, at this point, the property's already been bought. Their money is already there. And the Treasury has, in its sort of first review of this stuff, has admitted that since it started that in 30% of the cases they've examined, the ultimate beneficial owner has already been listed in another suspicious activity report. I mean, so clearly this isn't stopping, people with dodgy records coming and buying things in the US. And the only obvious answer I can tell you is making the real estate broker do due diligence before they sell it.